Petra, I have been reading more and more on LinkedIn about how people are very skeptical of frameworks. Some people say no framework will ever work for everybody. Frameworks are useless. Tell me, what are your thoughts on frameworks? When to use them, when to break them?
I love a good framework. I even create some frameworks. You do so too, right? But there's valid criticism that there is no single framework that works for everybody. But for me, frameworks are always, let's think canvases, for example. They're always a good starting point if people do something for the first time. If it's the first zero to a one product that you're building, then why not doing a business model canvas? Because maybe you never have thought along these lines and it's the first time you're doing it. And are all of these frameworks flawed? Of course they are. And some of the authors of these frameworks, me included, and I think you included as well, we always suggest customizing them. We always suggest applying them wisely in your situation and to your company's context. For example, I have this product management wheel for self-assessment purposes. And is it generic and working for a lot of product people and organizations? Of course, this is how I build it so that it helps as many people as possible. Should you customize it? Definitely. Is it maybe not ideal for the technical product manager that you might be having? For sure. But I never actually said that it actually that's what it is. So I think that's amazing to have a starting point with some all the canvases and all the frameworks. Plus, I use it myself a lot in my coaching practice. For example, if I need to give feedback on the spot, my brain always thinks situation, behavior, impact, suggestion. And then I'm always like, okay, what is the situation that I'm observing? What is the behavior the person actually shows? What is the negative, most of the times, impact that this may be having on their career or on this current situation? And what is actually, a suggestion that I would make, and I only make suggestions if the person is rather at the beginning of the career and more junior, and it's for them not easy to draw their own conclusions on the feedback that I'm sharing, right? So I have these little frameworks, two by twos, all these kind of things, even on the back of my hat. It just makes me quicker and helps me in my coaching practice, and it did help me in my product management practice as well. So I find that massively helpful. And I'm always wondering if people are criticizing all the frameworks and we should not use any of them, from Scrum to whatever, that's a framework in itself as well, right? Then I'm always wondering, like, yeah, but if none of that would exist, how would everybody work? And how would we align on, yeah, where to start the work that we do? What are you thinking about it, Teresa? What's your
Yeah,
take?
I think there's a phrase that comes to mind here, which is the map is not the territory. Right?
Ooh,
Are you familiar
nice.
with that phrase?
Yeah,
It's this
yeah.
idea of like the map helps you understand the territory, but it's not the territory, right? So a framework helps us get started in our thinking. It
Yeah,
is not the
indeed.
thinking itself, right? So in the learning and development world, for people that design teaching experiences, there's this concept of scaffolding, right? We need to teach you how to do something before you've done it, which is hard because you don't have the skills required to do it yet.
Yeah, you're
So
making stuff up.
we provide scaffolding. That scaffolding could come in a step-by-step process. We break it down. It could be a framework where we, right? So you brought up the business model canvas. If I don't know what a business model is, or what m contributes to a business model, that canvas gives me something to follow. Now, I think the mistake people make, and it's this mistake that's being criticized, not necessarily the frameworks themselves, is that people treat the framework like it's a recipe. Like I have to follow it step by step. Whereas I think when you're learning, you've never done it before, you might follow it like a recipe. But after you've done it one, two, three, four times, you're starting to see, oh, it works really well in this case. It doesn't work that well in this case. For us, we use this term instead of that term. And you start to gain experience where you can now modify the framework to better match your own specific needs. And I think a lot of people never get to that step. They always follow it like a recipe.
Exactly.
Then it's really shallow, right?
Yeah,
So
and plus
go ahead.
they're using it in really sequenced manner. So they have like, okay, now we need to do this, and after that we do that, and after that we do that. But it's not that they're freestyling with it or playful with it, connecting the dots and actually doing the work, because it all helps us see clearer, reducing some of the fluff, knowing where to get started, knowing which conversations to have. It's so often the work is in the conversations, and the work is not in filling out every blank the canvases have to offer, right? And maybe that's a bit of a German thing. A German loves a good canvas, and they're filling out all the blanks for sure. But sometimes I, in my coaching practice, see that important conversations haven't happened, and people haven't started to disagree with what is on the canvas and all these kind of things, right? And this is something that I think makes sense highlighting, that the work is in the conversations and the work is not in filling out the frameworks and the canvases. But they could be a helpful conversation starter.
I recently had a student, like just a couple weeks ago, that was working on her first opportunity solution tree in a group. They came into the exercise with three interviews, and she was really uncomfortable, like really uncomfortable, to the point that kind of derailed her whole group. And what she was uncomfortable with was, I can't map the opportunity space because I don't know that I've framed my opportunities perfectly.
Okay. Yeah.
You may never frame your opportunities perfectly. It looks like you've got a pretty good first draft. I suspect as you start to map the opportunity space, you're going to see how you might need to reframe some of them. Yeah, but I'm not ready. My opportunities aren't perfect. Okay, we get past that. She starts mapping the opportunity space. Their group has a perfectly adequate first draft. I call them crummy first drafts, but whatever. Perfectly adequate crummy first draft. And they have to choose a target opportunity. She doesn't want to do it. This needs more work. We need more interviews. We need to finish mapping the opportunity space. You're never going to be finished mapping the opportunity space. Ever in the history of time, right? No matter how long you spend on it.
That's when time boxing comes in handy,
this
right?
Was, usually. Yeah, this was a really hard concept because she has this mental model. I do step one and I don't do step two until I do step one. The problem with that is oftentimes in discovery, the next step gives you feedback on how well you did the first step.
Yes, and you have to go back and forth.
Yeah, so you can try to do a perfect job,
yeah.
But the next step's probably going to blow it up anyway. So you might as well rush to the next step to figure out if you got it right. This, to me, is an example of a framework as a recipe. I can't add the eggs until after I add the flour, right?
Yeah, plus a lot of... Not to blaming the product operations people, because I love the product operations people being around, but to some extent in companies where they have a lot of power on the framework approach. So where, for example, the product ops folks say like, okay, this is the way of working. This is how we go. That's our product operating model. And nobody can do anything else than jobs to be done. Jobs to be done is the only thing that we do. Then this recipe thing usually becomes a thing, so to say, because then people say like, yeah, but product ops said we need to do it in this sequence and this order. And I'm always like, yeah, but I think jobs to be done is maybe not the right approach here. Do opportunity solution trees or do a user story map or whatever it actually is that the team actually needs to do. And that is another risk of limiting yourself in your organization, in your discovery practice to too few of these methods, or not using them to an extent that you really understand them and that you are able to freestyle with them a bit more, being a bit more playful with it. So you cannot do just one opportunity solution tree and then you fully understand the concept like forever. You need to do several ones of them and then you understand the true power and then you understand where actually your talent actually lies, because for some people it's maybe the experimentation layer where they have to think about a lot, and then that kind of brings more in on the higher levels as well, and others are really good in mapping the opportunity space. I don't know, but not every framework is kind of helpful for every person. But if you have one, stick to it, use it a bit longer, I would say, and then break free from it at some point in time or create your own. That's what a lot of us did, right? We didn't like the ones that were around, so we needed to create some. And a lot of my coaches do so as well. Smaller things that they use internally, but still it gives a bit of structure.
I think you're raising a really key point around the need to operationalize some of these things. And I think... we've touched on this a little bit, but I want to reiterate on it. This idea of like a framework is really helpful when you're learning. So if I work at a company and we have 40 product teams and I'm trying to get them all up to speed on the discovery habits, I might say, look, we're all going to start with this framework. That's great. Operationalize that. Give them frameworks. But as your teams build skill in that framework, let them adopt it and iterate on it and refine it. And if it looks different from what a team three teams over is doing, that's okay. Yes. As long as the underlying principle is being met. If they're problem framing, let them use jobs to be done. Let them use opportunity solution trees. Let them use impact mapping. It doesn't matter. All that matters is they're problem framing. That's good, right?
Yeah, exactly. And having the important conversations, right? So this is that's another important thing. And then don't forget some of the important factors to discuss, because that's another thing that a framework is. An amazing reminder of, we didn't talk about that long enough, or this kind of aspect has not been considered by us. So I think that's another thing that it's helpful for.
The other thing that makes this hard is, like, let's say one team uses jobs to be done and another team uses opportunity solution trees. Now, when you're reporting out to your stakeholders, some people are talking about jobs, some people are talking about opportunities. And that's where, like, having the same framework is helpful. But I think we can still let our teams use whatever they want, and then help them translate from their framework or their iteration to a common company language.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that. I just had the case with one of my clients recently where we basically did a mini training on exactly that topic. So they allowed the teams to use whatever they wanted to use, but then they were requiring them sharing the story with internal stakeholders plus marketing colleagues who then would be able to market the product better in a similar way. So that's exactly what the training was all about, is that you have similar points you touch upon in these kind of presentations and in the stories that you share with the organization, no matter the product tools that you're using. And it was a really interesting workshop to prepare, I'd say. Yeah, more companies should do this, maybe. There's more liberation in the frameworks that the product teams use, but still stakeholders get too kind of crazy with all the details of product work. They shouldn't bother with these kind of things.
I think part of the reason why I love this analogy of scaffolding is that we put scaffolding up when we're building a building. When the building is built, we take the scaffolding down. Yeah. Right? This is
and
how
everybody
I like to,
can see the shiny thing.
Yeah. And so to me, that's the idea of a framework. I'm going to give you a framework so that you can learn about business models. You can learn about PM skills, so that you can learn about a problem space. As you use it, as you get comfortable with it, as you build that skill, we can take the framework away if it's not working for you. Or you can evolve the framework, or you can go deeper on the framework. And this is, I remember I had some coaching teams come back to me like a couple years later, and they said, Teresa, we've learned so much, but I'm embarrassed to say I don't story map anymore. I said, great, why don't you story map anymore? And they're like, well, because we can just quickly see the assumptions our ideas depend upon. I'm like, fantastic. Sounds like you don't need a story map anymore. Right? Yeah. Like they were sort of embarrassed. They felt like they were skipping a step. Whereas really they had outgrown the framework because they developed the skill. So we use story mapping, not for release planning. We use story mapping to identify assumptions. And they were getting good enough at identifying assumptions and being aligned as a team on what their solutions meant. They could just jump to that step. They didn't need it anymore. And they saw it as like, oh, this is a problem. And I saw it as like, no, this
it was actually
you're
an achievement
skill in this area.
That's I sometimes observe that it's rare, but it's still sometimes observed as in companies where the product development teams move beyond the agile frameworks, and not because they just have this kind of nobody does Scrum anymore kind of attitude, and then it's chaos what they do, because that's what I see a lot as well. But they really outgrew their agile rituals, because it's so much ingrained in whatever they do to come together every morning and to just discuss who's actually taking care of what, who's blocked by which person, how to resolve the conflict and the issue. And they do the occasional retro just because of they know that's how they learn and how to they improve their effectiveness and all these kind of things. And they don't need all of these rituals in their calendars, and they don't need to follow fixed iterations. And because they do it. They do it no matter what. They just do it in smaller, more occasional kind of iterations or settings. And I love if teams are such a well-oiled machine that they don't even need these rituals and this kind of time-boxed iterations. But it is rare. A lot of the teams ditch the frameworks and the rituals and the rhythm way before they actually should.
Have internalized
That's at least
it.
my opinion.
Yeah, I do occasionally hear stories where like the framework is in the way. But they think it's a process.
And it might be at some point.
They have to operationalize it. They got to check the box. If the framework is in the way, get rid of the framework. It's that simple. I think the challenge is we're not the best judges of our own skill. So we tend to think we're better at something than we are. So we think like, oh, Teresa just told me.
Or the other way around.
I don't need a story map. Well, you might, right? So that's a little bit of a tricky one. And I think that's where like your leader, your coach, whoever is working with you on it can help with that feedback. I'm like, yeah, it does feel safe that you can skip this or throw this framework out.
Yeah, people are often, even in my coaching, I sometimes say like, yeah, but if I would need to do what you currently are tasked to do, I would need the exact same frameworks. Have I created, I don't know, a lot of story maps, user story maps, a lot of them, really. I can show all of them to you. It's plenty. But would I still need to go back maybe to Jeff Batten's book, flip through it again, remind myself of how to use it, where to start and all these kind of things? Hell yes. Yeah. Would I need to rewatch a video or two? Yeah. Even if I created so many things, and it's just for me because, as you were saying, we think we're already good at this, but then we're missing important parts that are part of the puzzle. So even I know that this is a bit of personal bias of mine that I think like, I know how I'm actually going to approach this. And then if I go back to the book or if I go back to the framework or the canvas, I'm kind of, ooh, I actually forgot these 10 things to do and these 10 steps to do. And sometimes I decide I don't need them anymore. And sometimes it's just a great reminder of, yeah, Petra, even you should be doing all these things that are in the books and the frameworks and the canvases. Right.
I think this is such a great point in that, like, you can use a tool and get comfortable with it. And then if you go back to the source material, you're going to get more out of it. Because now you have experience with that
definitely.
Tool. You have more of your own scaffolding, right? Yeah. And so you can build a bigger building. I'm really pushing this analogy, but you really do.
I love it. You're bringing it to new heights.
You've internalized. That was great. You've internalized it, right? And so now you have more to attach it to. And on that second reading, on that second video watch or whatever the source is, you're going to get more out of it. And I hear from
more
people,
of the details.
I hear from people all the time that are like, hey, I read your book. I even took your class. I'm reading your book a second time. And I got to tell you, this thing I completely missed on the first read. And I completely missed it in your class. They weren't ready for it, right? Like, there's this model, there's like this teaching model of like, I'm going to give you knowledge. We're learning that model is really outdated. Teachers don't give students knowledge,
so
right?
So outdated.
Teachers facilitate a learning experience and students learn what they're ready to learn.
Exactly.
We often have to revisit it over and over and over again. And so while I would say a framework is not a recipe, it's scaffolding, you might be ready to get rid of the scaffolding, but there may be a point where you want to bring it back.
Yeah, and maybe may I bring up just another, before we wrapping it up, another aspect of this whole conversation, I guess, is that oftentimes people don't like frameworks because using them for the first time is hard. And it requires a bit of rigor to push through and a bit of best intentions to actually really follow the process so that you see the beauty of it unfold, because you have to create your first opportunity solution tree and you have to use it for quite some time to see how helpful it could be. And is it hard in the beginning? Yes. And I think for some people, it's giving up too early and giving up too easily and then blaming it on the framework too quickly to say like, well, it's complicated, it's hard, all these theoretical frameworks. And that is maybe another aspect of all the criticizing. And then as a good teacher, we try to bring those students along as well and say like, it's worth it. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We know it is hard in the beginning. But maybe still some people, we are in this kind of short attention span times.
Yeah.
And if things require work and brain capacity, it's draining, I know. And some people just don't want to put in the effort.
I think a good framework should push your thinking. It should make you think hard. And if a framework is not making you think hard, one of two things is true. It's either not a good framework, or you're not actually putting in the work. And maybe one way to know is, are other people finding the framework helpful? If they are, maybe you're missing something and you need to put in a little more work.
I loved it. That's famous last words, Teresa, on that one. I like it.
All right, we should probably wrap there. Thank you, Petra. This was fun.
See you next time.